Hello and welcome to PS Best Friends presents Faster Than Reloading. This is a very special episode of Faster Than Reloading because this is our spoiler talk episode of The Last of Us Part 2 for PlayStation 4. So just a quick note that our normally scheduled episode will be... where'd Miguel go?
He's probably joined back in, yeah. Continue.
Oh, there he is. Our normally scheduled episode will be... delayed a little bit because Jeff's going away this weekend, but we wanted to get this out first so you guys have something to listen to. Probably going to record Monday, which would be, I think, June 29th, which means June 30th is probably when we would drop. So just so you guys know, we're doing this now to get it out while, you know, people are still hungry for Last of Us conversation, and then we'll do the normally scheduled episode early next week. We'll be talking about the Cyberpunk 2077 event. We'll talk about the Avengers game, which just had an event today, as well as some other stuff. So we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But for anyone new to the show, my name is Anthony Palm. With me, as always, Chicago's prodigal son, Miguel Alvarez.
Yo, what's going on?
And the Brooklyn bad boy, Jeffrey Mizrahi. Did I ever give myself a nickname? I never introduce myself as anything. I just say my name's Anthony
Palm. The host, you were the Connecticut farm boy or some shit. No, it wasn't. It was like woodland creature.
You just cut off Jeff, bro, from the world.
I know, yeah. I didn't get my...
That was so long ago. That was so long ago. Like, when did you stop hosting the show?
I think 2 years ago.
Like, I think, like, I feel like it was like only like five episodes in or something, too. It wasn't even that many in. I mean, you do the news, so it's not like you don't have your own little hosting.
Yeah, we have our parts. But I think this is a great time to do spoiler cast.
Yes.
You know, it's not too early, so people aren't pressured to watch it. It's not too late. So it's really fresh in everyone's mind, and I think around now is when everyone's really finishing it up. But I just want to say this from the beginning also. Let's just set the groundwork in terms of we all love the game. So if we come off as a little negative at some point, that is literally just nitpicking and kind of like making an argument for... you know, like some devil's advocate type shit. I think it's a 10 out of 10. Miguel thinks it's a 10 out of 10. Anthony gives it a 9.5. We all love the game. We all think it's all amazing. So just want to say that first. If you guys disagree,
this is such good shit.
But let's just jump straight into the story. Yeah.
So, spoilers.
All right. So the game starts off. I mean, we'll go freestyle on this, but let's just start in the beginning.
Do you want to? I don't know if we should really recap the game.
No, we shouldn't. Let's just start like overall.
All right. So let's start with the question Miguel posed to me earlier today, which was, if you had to describe this game in one word, what would it be?
I would say amazing.
Yeah. Cheap. I'd say something like masterpiece. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like some other intense, or I don't know, masterpiece. Honestly, like, because if I said any other word,
so
like,
Yeah. My word for it was ballsy, and I said if you want to replace ballsy with bold, they're kind of interchangeable, I guess. Because I think that this game did something that I'm sure some people expected it. I kind of had an inkling of where it was going, but I didn't know, you know, it was going to be that early, which we'll get to that twist in a second. I mean, this is spoiler talk, so if you don't know, shut this down now. If you don't,
we said it from the beginning.
So,
he gets killed.
But yeah, I didn't know they were going to kill him that early, but I figured Joel will die at some point. But
a quick second sentence. It was very endgame, where it's like, I know Thanos is going to die, but whoa, 20 minutes in, I didn't see that coming, you know?
It wasn't 20 minutes in.
No, it literally was. Thanos dies 20 minutes into Endgame.
Oh, Thanos.
You're saying it's like two hours into Last of Us.
Relative of a 20-hour game, but yeah.
He's just saying it's earlier than expected. But yeah, I think that there was a lot of decisions in this game that were big risks, and clearly it turned a lot of people off.
Yeah.
I mean, we could say it's a vocal minority. I would like to think it's a vocal minority. It is. Because
usually the vocal minority.
But
usually you know, the one that fucking
yeah,
wants
but,
to bitch
but
about
there
something.
Was there was a lot of risks that they took in this game, and that's why I think it was very ballsy. There's a lot of decisions, both, you know, killing Joel so early, having you play as Abby for almost half the game. You know, having Ellie not kill Abby at the end, like, these are a lot of things that I like most of these decisions, and, you know, I have some qualms. There's, you know, like I said, I can't give it a 10 out of 10 in my personal kind of scoring method in my brain, because okay. There's just a couple things that just keep it from that. But I mean, it's a near, you know, it's still a masterpiece. I don't care what IGN scale is. To me, it's still a masterpiece. It's just not.
I mean.
It's not like every single tiny thing of it is perfect. You know what I mean? So, but
you said 9.5 or whatever you said, out of 10. Why though? Like, what are those little things that like are throwing you off?
Do you want me to get into that now, or do you want to talk about the actual?
I mean, go over them lightly, because I also rather like focus on like the 9.5 part.
I don't want to be
cover
them
lightly.
Lightly. I mean, I'm not asking you.
Well, I was just gonna talk about that at the end. So that it didn't seem like I was because they're not.
We'll keep it to the end, then we'll.
Because I don't want to sound I'm negative on the game. You know what I mean? Like, because I do. It is still one of my favorite PlayStation games. It's you know, right up there with Red Dead and you know, all those types of, you know, games that were my God of War and Final Fantasy 15 for me. So yeah, but let's get into the content of the story, and then I'll give my nitpicks.
Here's an interesting
question.
Do we think this game could stand alone? So, you know, that's always the question. It's like a sequel. Like,
can you play it without playing the first game?
Yeah.
I think so.
Just because the opening scene, it tells you pretty much what happened from the first game. Like, in 5 minutes.
But there's also enough flashbacks of Joel and Ellie's relationship as well. Too. I think without that, probably not. But the fact that they have so many flashbacks of Ellie and Joel bonding and that kind of big recap at the beginning, I think so. I wouldn't recommend it, but if someone is like, there's absolutely no way I'm playing the first game, I would say just go for it.
Yeah, you would appreciate more the second game if you played the first one, obviously.
It's a great point, because I think the issue, of course, if you didn't play the first one, would be, well, I don't know, why does Ellie care so much about Joel? But I think with the flashbacks, with even the opening cutscene of, I guess it doesn't show Ellie's love for Joel, but it shows Ellie's appreciation when he comes in. He's like, oh, I had a joke. Oh my God, that part killed me. And then he gives the dad joke at the door. It's, even if you haven't played the first game, I think you still understand that there is something special here, just from the performances themselves. So that's cool. Yeah.
What's the downside of eating a clock?
It's time. I had such a fucking grin at that part. I'm like, Joel, it's like, it's so cringy.
I rolled my eyes. Yeah, I rolled my eyes, but like in a cute way.
I'm gonna
So that was interesting. Also, that was right when it was like a week after they got to Jackson. So that's like,
yeah. Miguel and I were both confused. We're like, is Ellie like not older yet? But then I was like, oh, it's a flashback.
It's a flashback, and that happens a lot in the game. And I think it's a good thing that they're doing that, because it flashes out what happened in between games. You feel me?
Yeah,
like,
it flashes out, yeah.
Yeah, you see
and,
Ellie
and it
grow
tells
up
you a little bit backstory of, like, if you didn't play the first game especially, like, you could see, like, oh, they have some type of relationship and what kind of happened, and they're telling you that story in those flashbacks too, which is cool, especially when they're going back to the museum, the dinosaurs.
Yeah,
and you're going through that, and like, you see the affection and the love between them, and obviously when you're playing like at that time, like right before like Joel dies or everything, like you see that there's like a problem, and you still don't know what happened, and obviously you'll find out in the game that Ellie went to the hospital where
she
hospital,
visited.
Right?
Yeah. St. Louis.
Yeah, because she found the notes about the Fireflies disbanding.
Yeah, and like, she asked him point blankly, like, what the fuck happened? And Joel tells her, and obviously, like, I can't, like, forgive you for this, or whatever, and that's how it
she
ends.
She said, I'll go back, but we're fucking done, is what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah, and,
lied to me,
oh,
I'll never see it again. All right, so here's a question. What was I going to say? When's the first time we know that Ellie knows? Is it when she stops Abby and she's like, I know why you did this, but I know why you killed Joel.
I mean, she knows from the beginning of the game.
No, yeah, but we don't know that cutscene. We don't know that flashback.
Oh, you're asking why Abby's...
I mean, I don't know if she ever finds out it was her dad, but I'm sure she assumes it was just someone that Joel killed at the hospital.
There's a part where the audience knows that Ellie knows that Joel killed the doctor.
That is the Fireflies.
Yeah, so I think it's around there. So yeah, I think that's interesting in how it kind of keeps you... I didn't really find it cliffhanger. It kind of keeps you like on edge, you know?
You didn't clarify the question.
At what point
you're asking
do you know
what
Ellie...
point Ellie knows that Abby's part of the or was part
no,
of
no, no,
the
opposite. At what part of the game does the player know that Ellie knows what happened at the hospital?
Oh, okay.
Then when she goes and visits the hospital and gets the finds the cassette
tape.
Right
before all that stuff that's happening.
Yeah, she finds the cassette tape and then she's sitting outside and then Joel finds her and she says he's like, "Why? Where did
no,
you?"
Yeah,
go?
That's the final part. But I think the Abby part where she says, "I know why you killed Joel." Like, we don't know 100% what happened at the hospital, but we know that Ellie has...
No, that happens at the theater when she...
When she
kills Jesse. Yeah, that's afterward. That's, like, way...
Either way, yeah, okay, I'm messing up something that's really irrelevant, but...
I don't think... Yeah, I don't think Ellie ever knows exactly what Abby's relationship was to the Fireflies.
No,
I don't think she ever knows. Abby's dad was the doctor, you know what I mean?
That.
I think she just assumed... Yeah, right.
But not that the dad is the actual...
Right, I don't think she ever finds that out.
Was killed. Yeah, I don't think that was mentioned at all, right? Like, I don't think Ellie find that out,
so
right?
That's an interesting thing that I see a lot of people have issues with the game, but I have nothing, no qualms with that. That Ellie and Abby know nothing about each other. That they are two separate characters that's why people are upset. Like, oh, why should you give a shit at the
knows.
End? It's like,
well, that's why they hate each other so much, because they don't know each other's stories.
Exactly. There you go.
They don't know why each other did what each other did. That's why they hate each other so
much. They see each other as just these one-note villains.
Right. That's why it makes sense to me why they want to kill each other, because they don't understand what's going on. And I think at the end, and we'll get to the ending in deeper later, but I think at the end, that's part of what Ellie realizes is, like, there's more to both of them than what they both originally were fighting over, I think. But like I said, we'll stick to the ending later. So
yeah. So let's jump around. Let's go back to Seattle Day One. Actually, here's just an interesting thought. When you're walking around downtown,
Wait.
Yeah.
Let's start in the Jackson part. Let's go in sections. How about that? Okay, let's go with first section opening Jackson. Opening Jackson. The relationship between fucking Ellie, Jesse, Dina. And Dina.
Yeah.
That's just interesting, just because, like, people, like, especially, I think Joe mentions to Ellie that he feels that Jesse and Ellie, like, might be a thing.
Yeah.
And then Dina is the one that, it's Dina, right?
Dina?
Dina. I don't know why I keep saying Dina. I don't know.
A Hebrew biblical name, actually.
Actually ends up with Ellie towards the end. Obviously, doesn't work out, but...
Well, we don't know.
Please. Yeah, I mean, it could go... okay, whatever. The dad, like... And then it seems like Jesse's okay with everything. Like, that's what's throwing me off.
Yeah, so this, I guess in the post-apocalypse, I don't know, is monogamy
like
really a fucking,
thing?
Yeah,
go and fuck everyone, because even with the other part, like the
Mellon,
the Hispanic guy, I forgot his name, Manny, he's fucking left and right.
yeah,
he has
sex
tents everywhere.
That was, that was wild.
I like how Manny and Abby fucking lived in a suite. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I also, I'm curious to the hierarchy of how that worked. Why exactly was Abby...
I mean, Abby I think Mel mentioned that, like, when they were, like, talking about, like, going to San Barbara, because, like, I'll go with Owen, but I don't want you.
Not you. Yeah.
And then she mentions, because you're Isaac's best killer or something like that, best mercenary or something like that.
Yeah.
And... like, that's why she has that
Yeah. I guess it's been 5 years. Yeah.
The best, whatever, like, killer, whatever you are.
True.
And those ranks. And I feel like probably Manny was around there too. That's why they had those extra privileges, probably.
I could see that. That makes some sense. They were brought in and she like stood out as a fighter. You know, she wanted revenge. So she wanted revenge.
I'm sure some of the people they didn't know, other than the close people that, which all the close people with Abby seemed like they were fireflies. They came in together to that community.
Yeah.
Because she just doesn't mention it to anyone except those handful of people.
Yeah. The hit list.
Going
back to Jackson.
Jackson. Dude, the first couple cutscenes, dude, are fucking great. It's snowing. You're walking around.
So from the beginning, you're playing as Abby for a bit. You're playing as Joel, you're playing as Abby. I originally hated her. And so, cool. Okay, sorry. Let me actually specify Abby.
Oh, because it was going back and forth.
Yeah. I played the first hour, the first night at midnight. So pretty much.
You didn't get to Abby, right?
Before Joel died, after you played as Abby, when you came back to Ellie. Okay. So everyone's still alive, but you're playing as Ellie. And I'm like, I woke up that morning. I'm like, let's see where this Abby person goes. I hope like that's not a long-term character. The kind of like seem like the, I don't know, like boring characters, which I think is supposed
doesn't
to
change
like,
much.
That they're boring?
Yeah, I'll get into that later.
Oh, I don't think Abby's boring.
Oh my god, I thought she was fucking... She's not as bad, but the people around her were...
She is boring at first. But then...
Name one thing about her that she likes other than her stupid coins. Name something about her personality that makes her interesting.
She likes it in the ass.
She what?
I mean...
doggy style.
We do get that the story, like, you start finding out more stuff of her, obviously, later on, and why she's the way she is, and why she's changing, or why she, like, changed after they killed, Joel. Like, right at the beginning, she's like, I'm like, what the fuck is this character? Like, when, Anthony mentioned, like, I don't want to fucking play as her. Like, why am I playing as her? Obviously, you'll find out later on.
The beginning wasn't the problem I had with playing as Abby. Like, playing as her and Jackson, I was fine with whatever. I was like, I'm playing as her, assuming I'm going to learn more about her. It was playing as her right immediately after the fucking Desolation of Smaug fucking cliffhanger, where I'm like, I don't want to fucking go back through all three of these days. Like, what the fuck? So that was the problem I had, but continue.
So that was your problem.
Yeah, I didn't mind playing as Abby in Jackson. I hated playing as Abby.
Your problem is
after
that it was boring is because you started playing as Abby.
I didn't think it was boring. I thought she was a boring character.
I don't think she was boring.
I don't know. Yeah, agree to disagree. We're not trying to convince each other here. Or change each other's minds. But
I am.
I think she developed that. into a you know,
but that's
decent
the point. But you don't know her at first. Like that's the point. Yeah. That's the point of telling that story from 3 days, so you could like gauge and find out why she's doing the things she's doing.
Day one could have been completely condensed into like 2 hours of gameplay.
I think it was fine. Whatever.
Yeah. So I actually enjoyed the cliffhanger when she pulls up the gun and she does she say anything? Or does she just hold the gun and then it goes?
No, she says, "We let you live and you wasted it."
Oh yeah,
you killed all my friends.
So my biggest issue was I know the game's gonna show up there, but I'm like, hold the fucking phone. How did Abby find them? Like, how did she just end up in the theater? So that's why I kind of appreciated the build up more, even though it did feel slow. I'm definitely agreeing with you on that. The first day, I think, intentionally felt off putting in a way that it's like,
but that doesn't make it
I
good.
Kind of would rather be playing anything else.
I literally wanted to stop playing the game. I was like, I think that I honestly might have gotten off and played some Modern Warfare or something. I was like, I don't want to play this right now.
But I think that was totally intentional. I think you're supposed to feel that.
Yes, it wasn't intentional.
But that doesn't make it good, though.
Fair enough.
Yes, but that's their story.
Like, yeah, that's fine. That doesn't mean I have to like it.
I get it, and I enjoy it, and I like that. Because right after the cliffhanger, you're like, oh shit, what the fuck is going to happen? Then it happens.
But then it takes
like,
way too long to resolve it, though, is my point. I just hate cliffhangers
in
general.
You know what happens, though. Like,
you don't know what happens.
See, okay. Yeah. Like, you have an idea of, like, one of them is dying. That's what was in my fucking head. Like, someone's going to die. We're like, what the fuck? And then when you get back to that point and you're painting as Abby, and you're chasing Ellie, right? No, you're playing as Abby, and you're chasing Ellie. It's like, fuck this. Like, give me a choice. That was in my head. Like, I don't want to fucking kill Ellie. That's what I thought was going to happen. Honestly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You I said this to you guys. I said like, if this game makes me kill Ellie as Abby, like, it's a 0 out of 10.
Yeah, you mentioned something like that when you're playing through it. And I'm like, oh, just wait. But, that was in my head. Like, the game I don't want to kill Ellie with Abby.
It doesn't make you, but it kind of puts you up against it in the boss fight. And yeah. every moment in that boss fight against Ellie in the theater, I was like, please end in some like turn the gun away. Like, oh my God, I really do not want to kill her like I killed David in that boss fight in one. I was like begging. I'm playing the game. That's why like I don't understand how people are upset. Like, well, I didn't want to kill Ellie. It's like, my guy, you have a controller in your hand. You're playing a video game. So it's like, I'm still going to play it through. When it says hit square, I'm hitting square. It's like, I'm not that fucking immersed that I don't know it's a video game. I was definitely rooting against Abby. There was a part where I'm like, let's see what happens. And Ellie killed me. And it just ended with like a classic like game over screen. Yeah, I thought it'd be like a little, what do you call it? Like in Metal Gear Solid when it's like Paradox.
Time Paradox, yeah.
Time Paradox, yeah.
So, when you kill Ocelot. Problem solved, series over was the trophy for that.
That was my first thought, right? From the when it started. And then like towards the... Because you start like... trying to take off her like weapons, so like she drops like a gun and then it's another gun and then the arrow and then the knife, and like somewhere in the middle I'm like fuck, like I don't know who I want to fucking like die right now, just because
at 0 points Abby, in this story was I ever rooting for Abby over Ellie. I'm sorry.
No, I was rooting for Abby 100% in the last fight.
For Abby,
last fight. Okay.
Yeah. In the final fight, I did not want Abby to die.
Oh no, I'm talking about in the theater. Like in the theater, points was theater. I ever rooting for Abby.
Oh, you're saying any point in the theater? Got you.
Yeah, I meant in that fight. Yeah.
I mean, towards the end. Yeah. I'm like, fuck. Like, I don't want no one to die.
I mean, I was kind of hoping the ending that happened was what happened during the last fight. I was kind of just like, I hope they just beat the shit out of each other and then give up.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah, but dude, when she fucking takes Dina. That was,
and then she said good when she said she's pregnant. I was like, oh, if you do that,
yeah, I'm like, oh my God, like, no, because it makes sense in Abby's eyes that she would do a tit for tat thing. And you killed my pregnant friend, I'm going to kill your pregnant friend. And I'm like, shit, wow, Dina's dead right now. But, Lev, shouts out.
Oh, well, when Ellie kills Mel,
she doesn't know she's pregnant,
like, no, exactly. Yeah, that's like
Abby doesn't know that and doesn't care that she didn't know that, but
and then it's like, oh shit. Like, I, if Tommy wasn't there, I think Ellie would have stayed there for, like, a long time.
Well, yeah, just she was being like, sitting like, there throwing up, yeah.
And the Abby part, when... Wasn't there a moment in one that something similar happened with when Joel was killing someone and Abby and
Ellie... Wasn't it just the first time Joel killed someone in front of her?
Yeah, no, I feel like...
No, it was something the first time similar. Ellie killed someone to save Joel's life, and she's like, and she, yeah,
right.
It was Ellie's
Does
first
she
kill.
Shoot, right, because it's when the guy's drowning Joel in the puddle.
Yep. I think she quotes that actually in this game. Where are you going with this?
Where I'm going is that when Abby, because Abby didn't stop because what she said, Abby stopped because Liv said stop.
Yeah.
Well, he just said Abby. He didn't even say stop.
Or Abby, or yeah, like she. I mean, that's like pretty just much trying what to snap he ended up it, saying. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I feel that there was a moment in time in the first game at the beginning, somewhere in the beginning. I don't remember what it was, but that happened when Joe was killing someone, and Ellie stopped it.
I don't think so. Like, I'm trying to think everyone who dies.
Yeah, I don't think so
either. Hold on, I think you're thinking of when Ellie's stabbing David and Joel has to pull her off.
Oh, it could be that. Yeah, it could be
and
that.
And Joel's like, stop, like you had enough.
Like, which
that parallel also kind of makes sense in the sense that we just might have killed Tommy. I think Abby thinks she killed Tommy when she shoots him in the face.
Or yeah, like, and she's just like, fuck it, at this point, I'm just going on.
Yeah, so she's like, I killed Abby. I just broke Ellie's arm. Because I don't know. That's why I thought the farm sequence was a dream. Because I'm like, hold on.
I did think it was a dream too, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, how long is this going to go?
I'm like, how the fuck did she get all these sheep? Like, that was the moment where I was like, this got to be fake. I was like, there's no way she has this many fucking sheep.
I mean, there was some time that happened already. The kid's fucking probably like a year old.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like, I mean, not 2 years.
I just thought it was when she even made the line of, how do we have these many sheep?
Yeah, right. That's funny.
But Jackson, bro. I mean, they had animals. It's not like fucking shit just...
It was a lot of sheep.
Where was it?
Hey, bro. Fucking sheep had a fuck, all right, bro?
Okay, so jumping back, so that was our Jackson section. Jumping quickly to day one, I just want to make a quick shout out because I'm like looking over the cutscenes. The fucking synagogue. Seeing a Jewish place of worship in a video game, I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've ever seen that. And for new listeners, I'm a Jew.
I'm sure it's not the first time.
A Jew, that's like...
it's the first time in a high-profile game, I would say.
I'm trying to think of any time I've been in a shul in a video game. I mean, maybe some indie title or something. Either way, shout out Neil Druckmann, an Israeli Jew, for putting this in. This is also the first time I think you learned that Dina's Jewish. I thought she was like... No,
I think it is the first.
Oh, she did mention something about her family. Yeah,
she mentioned she's. Oh, yeah. Okay,
that was in the synagogue, though. I thought.
Yeah, it was in the synagogue. Yeah, I don't think anything of Jackson she mentioned.
Because she says she likes being lying. Yeah, she. Go ahead. I think you're gonna say what.
Yeah, where she's like, yeah, we tried to be wiped out like hundreds of times before. Like we always survive.
Like a long line of survivors or something.
Yeah, yeah, long line of survivors. Yeah, that's what it was. Which so true, awesome. Even in apocalypse, we still got Jews. That whole area so well detailed. There are literally books that I've seen in real life that were in the fucking environment. That was just such an awesome area. And then I was watching a Seattle downtown, like that whole area compared to real life. And that synagogue is actually like right there, and it's like pretty 1-to-1.
That's cool.
A lot of the buildings that they took off were like almost 1-to-1.
Dude, I didn't realize the convention center they have is where PAX is. And like,
oh my god, I saw so many fucking tweets about that. I was like, guys, the joke is old now. Like everyone kept saying, guys, I made it to Comic Con or made it to PAX. I made it to PAX.
That's a lame joke.
And it's like so many people tweeted that. Like the first one was cute, and then like five more. I'm like, all right, guys, like we get it. PAX is at fucking Seattle
Convention. Dude, if they had the fucking Javits Center or was in Boston, the Boston Convention Center, like that'd be pretty cool. Like just walking through it. I imagine any Seattle fan of Seattle. Livers.
Fuck the Boston Convention Center, though. That shit's so hot.
All right, so yeah, some other stuff. Day one was really cool. I don't know what else. Oh, yeah, that's when you also find all the pictures. At that point, when you find all the pictures of the Fireflies, besides Abby, did you guys, like, recognize most of them? I found it cool that, like,
throughout playing the game, you kind of know them. I didn't recognize any of them until I started, like, really, like, Owen was the one that I recognized the most. All the other ones I didn't really... I didn't even realize Mel was Mel until she unzipped the thing, and I went, oh, shit, that's the pregnant girl. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't realize that until after she, you know, so they got me with that one, because you're not really introduced to them that long in that scene where they kill Joel, you know what I mean? Like, Manny...
Oh, for seconds.
You Manny, I feel like, was the most...
In that house, like...
Yeah, like, Manny, I feel like, was the most recognizable, because he had the ponytail. But I feel like everyone else, I kind of didn't recognize until later on.
I want to go back a little bit before they
won. Yeah, go back.
When obviously we're skipping, we haven't even talked about too much about the part where pretty much Abby like gets rescued by Tommy and Joel, right? And then they start going back to the mansion or the house that they're at, and they go into the house and you're like, it's everything's normal or whatever. And like Abby like knows already that's Joel because she mentions by name, and she's like, oh shit. I think this is the guy. And then they go into the actual house, right? And then, like, the guy, like, they all come in, like, oh, hey, thank you for saving Abby or whatever. And then he mentions, Joe mentions, I think, no, was it Tommy? Like, hey, I'm Tommy, and this is my brother,
yeah,
Joe.
Tommy's the one.
And everyone's like, you see everyone, like, kind of, like, stand up. And they're like, and Joe, I think Joe is the one that mentions that, like, oh, you guys are, like, do you guys... know us or something like that? Like, have you heard of us or something like that, right?
Yeah.
He says something like that. And then the shot to the fucking shotgun shot to the knee.
Where it just blows a hole.
Destroy the fucking knee, dude. I'm like, holy shit.
That's when I was like, all right, Joel's dead. I was like, there's no way he's just going to limp around now. He's dead. Not from the shotgun, but I just knew that that's where it was going.
I was like, fuck, dude. Like, This is how it's gonna go. And then you go back and start playing with Ellie, and you're walking into that. And then you just hear especially when you're like going into the house already, you start hearing like
Joel screams.
Joel screaming and shit. I'm like, oh my god, they're torturing this poor fucking guy. And then when you just open the door and like all that stuff happens and like Abby screaming to stop and like stand up, dude, I'm like, fuck. Like, I did tear up and I did cry, but it wasn't there. It was towards the end. I'll tell you guys where. But I'm like, I was about to cry and tear up, but I like my eyes were watery and everything, but I don't know what it was, but it was emotional. And I was like, what the fuck? Anger. That's what probably what it was that I had.
It's all about.
And it did give me that emotion, dude. I was like, fuck, I'm gonna kill fucking Abby. That's what, like, in my own head, like, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that my head, I was like, I can't wait for Ellie to kill her.
And just what happened after, I think Owen's pretty much the one that saves Tommy and
yeah, he straight Ellie, up right? tells.
Because he's the one that talks reason to.
Because I think the Asian guy was gonna kill Tommy.
Oh yeah,
and Owen was like, "No, we're only here for Joel."
And dude,
I feel bad for
makes sense.
I feel bad for Owen
sense.
The most. Fucking poor guy didn't do nothing wrong. I mean, obviously, he's part of it. But like, I feel like he was the one that was like,
yeah, he's
if
the
it
one
was
that
up
had
to
like
him, he probably
would
have killed Joel quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I believe Joel deserves to die.
Oh yeah,
Joel
100%
can't be living.
100%. That's why anyone that's anyone that's mad purely at the fact that Joel dies, is missing the point because Joel's not a hero. He's not a hero. He's not.
I was crying because a character I liked seeing.
So you did
his
cry.
Story. Yeah, I 100% cried.
You mentioned
crying.
You cried. You did.
No, I said I did. Cry.
You have no soul.
Saying I didn't.
Anthony.
I mean, I just saw it coming.
No, I was crying because a character I have grown attachment to is dying, but at the same time, it invigorated me. It's like, I want to know more about the story. I want it. I'm in. That's like the hook. It's like, this dumb bitch just fucking killed Joel. What the hell is going on? Who is she? What's the backstory? What's happening right now? But like, all I know is that I'm going to have to kill her. Like, I wasn't, I don't know. Hard to explain. You get what I'm saying?
I don't know if he had to die. I knew he was gonna die, but like,
I think
realistically,
Joel was never destined for a happy ending.
But why? Because he was greedy.
Yeah,
because he massacred all of the fireflies in the hospital.
Oh, I get that, but
he killed one of the best surgeons in the apocalypse.
He died because he was greedy.
Because he was a terrible... Not to do with greed. He was just a terrible person.
He was greedy because she wanted
he was,
to have...
He wasn't greedy.
He was selfish.
Selfish, that's a better word. Yes.
Yeah.
Selfish because he wanted... I feel like he wanted Ellie to love him.
I don't even think it's that he's selfish. I think he's just a terrible person. I think he's just...
I don't think
I mean?
He's a terrible person.
He's a terrible person that uses the excuse of love and care as a
reason for murdering him.
Technically, everyone's a fucking terrible person in this scenario. Like, in the game, overall. Honestly.
Yeah, I don't think any of them... I don't think Abby or Ellie really deserved to live at the end.
I mean, I think...
I'm glad Ellie did,
overall,
but I don't think she deserved
in
to.
The game. Like, anyone, could deserve to die.
That's
like,
that's a classic Walking Dead thing. I think Dina might have been totally innocent. I don't know how many...
Like, you don't know his backstory. That's a thing.
Like, Dina, Jesse, I think they... You know, I don't think they were guilty. Tommy was a terrible person from way back when he was in Fireflies. So...
Like, I'm sure everyone overall, I mean, realistically, deserves to die because
done. True, but we've seen these acts.
I know.
That's what makes him... Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, we know for a fact that Joel is just not a good person. He might have started to develop into a good person, living in Jackson
end,
for
we'll
5 years.
We'll talk about it, but yeah.
You can't run away from
that.
Can't run away from, you know.
Exactly.
Pass that,
I'm trying to, yeah.
That scene, man, that like that little section there, I was like, fuck. That was really emotional. And then
here's the next extremely emotional part. This actually happened in day one when they're in the Dina and Ellie are in the spore section in that underground area. And
before you say
mask,
that,
what?
Before you said that, because she did mention when they found out, because right before
the weed,
that, when they go into the hideout of the guy that died, the older guy, I guess, that
Smash Bandicoot, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Porn.
Yeah, that was funny. Because they, you know, they smoke weed and they had, you know, they fuck around or whatever it was. And they, in the morning when they woke up, I assume, Ellie mentions her to her that like, hey, I'm like immune, like. And then,
but yeah, like, no, Dina plays it off like, as a joke.
Yeah. And then when that happens, and like, hey, like, the mask breaks, and it's like, no, like, I'm not coughing. I'm like, I'm immune. I told you I'm immune. And then she's like, I don't know what fucking went through Dina's, right?
Dina? Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So when I'm playing I see Ellie's mask break, and of course, Dina's reaction makes sense. Is fuck, yeah. She's about to die. I'm gonna hold my breath. I'm gonna take my mask off. And when Dina starts taking her mask off, I literally yelled at my TV and said, "No!" I'm like,
yeah,
it's so intense because
I feel like
Ellie's holding some information from Dina that is pretty important.
Really didn't.
Specific. Well, she didn't, yeah, but it wasn't clear. I guess I don't know. You're high shit. And in this situation, it's just so there's so much to converse about. Like, hold on, I'm gonna have to explain this to you. You don't have a fucking mask. If you don't have a mask in this area, you're gonna die. Like, what are you talking about? No, like. It was just so, like,
that's
explosive.
That's it. Talk didn't happen because more clickers started to chase them. That's when you, like, have to run and shit.
But coming from Dina's perspective, it's like, what? Your mask is all, you have no mask in this area? It's like being in a fucking toxic chemical plant. I don't know.
I feel when they're, like, running, because I don't feel like they talk too much after that, like, after that point. Like, when they're, like, trying to escape, she's like, oh, shit, she already told me this.
Yeah. She's like, I would have fucked up there if I took it off.
Yeah. But that scene was, the reaction of Dina's, like,
instantly,
one thing on this game, like, the character, like you mentioned, I think, with just the actors, the work that they have,
the
bro, like, the emotions, the mocap, everything is so fucking on point. Like, you could, when they're angry, they're sad, they're happy, or whatever, like, you could tell on the characters, bro. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's so clear. It's mind blowing how good it looks. And like
whenever they're looking at a map or they're going over plans or something, you could always see the character not talking, like having such a like expressive face. Like either they're inquisitive or they're just thinking in their own world, like I don't give a shit about what you're saying on the map, or like, oh, I gotta read it. Like the facial animations are above and beyond.
Oh, speaking of maps, can we talk about how great the downtown Seattle map was?
Yeah.
Like, if Madagascar had a map like that in Uncharted 4, it would have been way more playable. Way more tolerable.
I think
tolerable.
Madagascar did have a map, but it was
not as detailed as that, though, you know what I mean?
It was, I like doing the classic, like, all right, what is this? This is two blocks, and then I make a left, all right, I'll go, and then, like, I get back in my heart, so, like, all right, two blocks, make a left. It tells you when you complete an area, which is great, and there's a voice line if you don't want to check the map. Downtown Seattle is, done very well. Now, would you guys have
it was concise,
been
but
okay
like,
with
I feel like it was smaller than Madagascar.
Oh, definitely. Definitely felt. I think it felt paced better. Whether
I mean,
it was
cut into like two sections, so maybe that's why too.
Also, hold on. Let's fucking acknowledge the music store part, which is crazy that could have been that was an optional thing. When she's playing "Take on Me" for Dina and the
that. So
and you can just completely miss
the first run.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I missed it, and then when I was going through the collectibles, which I'm still not done, but I'm going with shit, like, oh, fuck, okay, yeah. I missed it.
You missed it? That is so cool.
Like,
that
I missed
amazing.
That, and I missed the hat part.
The dinosaur.
You're in the dinosaur, yes. Like, I missed both of the things. Like, I was like, dang, like, fuck. That was special.
Yeah, that, I saw a cool critique or observation on when she was playing "Take on Me." She starts off playing the song that Joel's playing to her in the beginning, but then switches up to "Take on Me" when Dina walks in because she wants to like preserve that moment, that song that was a special song between Joel and Ellie. I'll just play some other pop song. I know. I thought that was a pretty cool observation. I forgot who made that, but yeah.
But going a little bit more forward, I want to talk more about because overall, like the Seattle days for Ellie. Like just emotionally and everything, I think it's good and everything. But right at the end, when like in the theater, when like they go back, it's them and Jesse, and they hear the shot that's going on, and then you're running, and then the shot that Abby takes just fucking blows Jesse's brain. I was like, holy shit. That was my first reaction. I was like, holy shit. Because they made a good job of like making Jesse relatable. And I was like, I was like, oh man, this is gonna fucking cool that guy.
Yeah, because that's after he saves you in the car and that insane car chase. Yeah. First of all, okay, game design wise, amazing. Like going back and forth, everyone's attacking you. You're still shooting. Love that.
I mean, you could have shot like 200 bullets. You are not gonna run.
It was infinite ammo. Yeah, it's infinite. I do like how Last of Us does that. Like it's such a game about scarce resources, but there are moments where there's infinite ammo. Like even one had that.
Yeah, that was like it felt very Uncharted in that section, which is not a complaint, but it did feel very Uncharted in that section.
It wasn't too grandiose. It wasn't you're on a fucking flaming plane and you're going outside fighting while you're falling off the plane. It was literally just a car backing up in a small street.
Right.
But it felt intense. It felt as chaotic as jumping out of a plane.
Just for your comment where you were talking about when does Ellie know?
Yeah.
Or when does the player know when Ellie knows about the all that stuff? It's right to be when day two starts. That's when they have the flashback about the Ellie going into the hospital and all that shit.
Oh, that was day two?
Yeah, that was the beginning of day two. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So when Abby puts a gun on her, that's way later. Yeah. Okay, yeah. We already know that she knows.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks for clarification.
Right after that, like when you start playing as Abby, right? When we already talked about that. I was like, fuck this. I don't want to play as Abby. Abby seemed like Anthony put a gift of Brock Lesnar. And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. Like, you have no clue what the fuck this guy is. He's boring. He's kind of boring. He's like super charismatic and everything. Like, if you know him, obviously. Like, if you know whatever, like everything. But like, when you see him, he's like, damn, this like looks buff, and he looks boring as fuck.
Brock Lesnar is a thumb in my head. He's just the embodiment of a thumb.
And I was like, fuck, is that his dad or something?
I don't know. I think Brock Lesnar has way more personality than Abby Anderson.
Oh yeah, but like.
I mean, for what it's worth, I don't really know much about Brock Lesnar. I've just seen him, so he seemed like just a thumb person to me.
And then you start playing as Abby, right? And, like, she kind of has no character. You know nothing about her, honestly, until, obviously, you keep playing. Within the 3 days, you know, like, oh, her dad was killed because of Joe and, like, all that stuff that happens. And Owen and her are, like, really connected because, you know, since...
Fireflies.
And they had and like a relationship.
Love. Yeah, yeah.
Love, obviously. There was a lot of love because, goddamn, fucking God, your brain's fucked. That's another thing that took me out of fucking surprise.
That probably is the most explicit sex scene we've seen in a video game now.
I think
in a Sony first party game, at least.
Maybe some leaders.
GTA, probably.
Tits, and there was clear fucking penetration. No, dude,
I don't think, because there's never on-screen sex in God of War. That's always the camera moves over, and then it's GTs.
There's been tits in GTA.
There is tits. In GTA, yeah. There's tits in GTA.
GTA, San Andreas, I think San Andreas.
The hot coffee, yeah, the blowjob.
No. No, remember that scene that you, like, had sex? And then they had to take it out of the game. I think it was Vice City or San Andreas.
It was the hot coffee thing. They took it out of the game before it released, and it was
you could play it. No. Like you actually
wasn't. It was like locked on the disc or something. Like you had to play play it on like a fucking jailbroke PS2.
There was actually fucking like machinery shit that you had to fucking like. It was a mini game.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, it makes
sense. They took it out of the game, but you were seeing people fucking having sex.
Yeah, but I mean, still.
They took it out of the game.
How explicit? How
I think
explicit
this was.
PS2
this is the most explicit that I've that I can.
Oh
remember
yeah,
that.
I mean,
there, but there. I'm not ruling out even GTA 5. I'm not ruling out because I just don't remember from GTA 5.
No, I mean,
GTA
5
didn't have it, but
it didn't have sex. It only had the stripper. I know.
It was the stripper.
Red Dead had like none at all, right?
The only other sex scene I would even recall from a game is Mass Effect, right? Like besides
God. Yeah, but those are the same things God of War where it just pans away. Yeah.
Mass Effect, they don't even take their clothes off. So yeah,
you see Miranda's bra in 2, I think was the extent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Want to see it? That's why. Romance there, but yeah, so that was a really ballsy scene using.
Oh yeah, dude. I
even like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it's like Cassandra just starts kissing the person, and then the camera just
Yeah, and then
like,
that's what I was expecting with this. And then Abby takes the shirt off. I'm like, oh, tits. Oh, shit. It's going to happen. I'm like, it's happening. I started laughing because I wasn't expecting that shit. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think now, like, objectively more or critically, I guess. What purpose did that scene serve? I guess it kind of showed the...
It's a story. It's a book that we're playing.
Yeah.
Well, I think it serves the purpose of Abby and Owen's relationship. You know what I mean? Like, it shows that... Yeah. Because then it goes on to, I don't care. Well, I do. You know what I mean? And all that shit later on. And then
Mel being like, you're a piece of shit. Yeah, exactly.
No, but when Owen and Abby are talking later and they're like, let's talk about last night. And she's like, I don't care. And Owen's like, well, I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good point. It's to show the two different approaches to love, I guess, or in relationship.
I mean,
well, it's just furthering the love triangle with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Give me more light.
Because of the talk that she had with Mel about she didn't want her to go with them. But yeah, dude, they did an amazing job. Like, for me to care for Abby in those, like, 3 days in-game. Yeah. For Abby.
So we talked mostly about the Jackson crew. Talked a lot about wolves. Fireflies, of course, are all dead. Let's get into the fucking... Why am I blanking on their name? Not the Rattlers. The Scars. The Seraphites, as they're like to be called. So this is a little interesting. They never exactly gave the history as to why... why they love the woman, why her, like what was her teachings, like how that happened. There was a lore piece, or a, what do you call them, artifact, that pretty much said... The wolves locked her up. They captured her, and she just sounded like a crazy person, essentially. And it was their fault that they turned a crazy person into a martyr by killing this person. And now they created this.
Well, I think Abby even said that. She said, Isaac, what have you done? You turned a crazy person into a martyr.
Yeah.
I think it was a line by Abby.
Yeah. So what do you guys think of that?
Okay. So were you guys confused? The first time I saw the picture of her, I thought it was Abby because of the braid. Like, the very first time you see the character, I was like, is that, like, does Abby have a braid because of this lady? Like, is it similar to that? But it just apparently had just no relationship, so.
Yeah, another woman.
Because I thought the braid was supposed to be symbolic of something, and then it went nowhere.
So, they did talk about when Abby, like, in the third day, when she finds Liv and, what's the girl's?
Yara.
And like they're like the conversations between them is like they're like the Scar. I'm just gonna call them Scars.
Call them Scars, yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of like brainwashed because Liv mentioned. Yeah. I think it's Liv that mentions about a book, right? It seems like they wrote a book and like
it's like a Bible. Basically.
She's like a god to them because she's like freed them of the wolves or whatever it was because. Supposedly, like, she had powers, right? And then that's when Abby mentions, like, no, we just started fucking attacking people or whatever it is and made a bomb or something that went off in Seattle. That's why Seattle looked the way that in parts, like, all fucked up. Because I feel like there was a bomb that happened. And that's when the
government actually attacked.
Okay, that's what it is. They dropped bombs. They dropped bombs.
Yeah, Fedra did, right?
And that's supposedly that she did that. And that's how she freed them. That's why they
think she's the cause of the destruction. That's interesting. Okay, I didn't know that.
That she saved them of that destruction, and they freed them of the like all the bad shit that was happening before. And she brought the demons. They call them demons instead of the like.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the talk that they had, and Abby's like, no, like. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even close.
For anyone watching the video, I was laughing at something else, not at what Miguel was saying. I really appreciated the line by Lev, who said, I think I messaged it to you guys yesterday. I'm not scrolling back into it, though. I'm going to paraphrase. But it was Lev said it to Abby, like, they're having a conversation. It wasn't an artifact. But again, paraphrasing, it was something about, Abby's like, why are your people, like, killing all these people? Would your leader be approving of all this? And Lev was like, no, she never preached for violence and all that. We never did that until she died. They take her words and twist them to what they want. And I just thought that was really relevant because, I mean, the Specifically with Lev, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, LGBTQ rights and all that stuff, specifically with him. But just in general, it's a very real world kind of sentiment of, you know, like people in the real world twist religion to fit what they want, but they ignore the things they don't want. And I thought that was really relevant and a really nice kind of interaction between Abby and Lev.
Their interaction between them and the guy, I keep forgetting his name.
Yara, I just said it.
Yeah. All that shit's actually really important to the whole game and to the development of Abby.
Yeah, like I didn't give a flying fuck about Abby until really.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are making that comparison. People are making that analogy of Abby to Joel. Joel to Ellie is Abby to Lev. So, you know, the game starts off, there's this hardened person who doesn't give a shit, who's just a mercenary, essentially. And because of a smaller, young person, they learn to care. And, you know, Joel did that.
I mean, even before that, like, when you start playing Esther and, like, she keeps getting flashbacks. I don't know if you guys know it. It's like flashbacks of the day that she found out her dad was dead. And every time...
Ellie and Abby both having flashbacks of walking.
Yeah, time, like, as the game fucking, like, expanded. And I think at the end, like, there was... She opens the door and it's just white. Like, she found the light. Yeah. And it was Liv, like, fighting for Liv. Because right at the beginning, it's, like, fucking dark and that happens. And then the second time, I think it's just, like... Like, all fucking dark and shit. And then
the second time was when she sees Lev and Yara hanging with their guts spilled out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's like a vision.
Oh, dude, that whole scene.
Because that was after she had sex with Owen.
That whole scene was fucking incredible.
Sorry, which one?
When Abby's getting hanged and they save them, they come in and save Abby.
Oh, yeah,
that was the clip her wing scene from the original trailer.
Clip her wing scene, scene.
Was that the first trailer we ever got? Clip her not the teaser where we had Ellie playing the car, but like the first actual like trailer.
That
we
was
got.
The first.
That was the first one we got.
That was the first.
Clip her wings, because I remember everyone online freaking out about the violence.
The first trailer was
the guitar.
So I'm saying, I can't have like a teaser trailer.
Correct.
This was the actual first trailer, technically. The first one was a tease.
Which the game was kind of wild in retrospect. Like,
yeah, that's why I remember people were like, "Oh, this is so dark."
Hey, remember when that teaser trailer showed Joel and he walked in the room and he said, "You sure you want to do this, kiddo?" And everyone, no, that was a different scene in the trailer later on where he goes, "You didn't think I'd let you do this by yourself, did you?" They replaced that with Joel. The scene that we're talking about, the teaser trailer, which doesn't happen in the game, it was just like made for a trailer. Mm-hmm. When Joel's like, "You sure you want to do this, kiddo?" And everyone's like, "Joel's dead, right? That's a hallucination." And Jeff's like, "Oh, you're all stupid. Joel's not dead. Oh, he's fine. Joel's there for the whole game." And they got you hook, line, and sinker, you stupid fuck.
First of all, I appreciate that I was hooked as a fish because...
No, but you called people idiots for thinking Joel was dead.
No. I called people idiots for thinking Joel would die and reappear as a fucking force ghost. That's what I thought would have been, because they didn't do anything.
I would have been okay with a hallucination.
Was there any, the closest thing to hallucinations this game had was PTSD flashbacks, which different vibes entirely.
Dude, we got to talk about that fucking PTSD scene at the farm too. I thought she was going to kill the baby.
Hold on, we'll jump to the farm. Let me quickly, before we leave Lev, just really shout out to the handling of trans representation in this game. Amazing. Not preachy at all in the slightest, had no forced agenda. It was literally so he was Lily, so a person born as a girl in this fucking psychotic cult in the future was essentially told he has to be a fucking bride to some old people. She just wants to fight for her people, her family, essentially. The only way to do that is to, you know, I guess also I'm kind of downplaying because it wasn't just to escape that she also felt more like a boy. So, I mean, I don't really have too much trans insights, but I thought it was just amazing.
I messaged you guys the line for that, too. And again, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like, "You heard what they called me? Yeah. Do you want to ask me about it? Do you want me to ask you about it? No. Okay." That was the conversation. And I like, that's how you handle it. It's like...
Yeah, that's how you begin.
They explain it later. Yara explains.
Well, it was like, but when you guys are fighting in the building, and then they're calling him Lily.
It makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's, you don't need to, it's not beating you over the head, it's just Abby gets it. Abby gets that Lev is a boy. Whether or not he was born a boy is irrelevant. See, she does. She gets it. She doesn't need to ask that way.
I didn't get that. How I took it in through the story, and people like were talking on Twitter, and then you guys commented on it. But the way I took it was that, because there was lines that mentioned this. At the beginning when I saw it, I thought it was a boy. First of all, I thought it was a guy.
I kind of, I mean, Jeff told me ahead of time, but I did kind of get the vibe.
Yeah, sorry,
Lev or Abby?
Lev.
Okay.
Abby's a fucking girl, like, from the beginning.
I didn't think Abby was the trans character. I was just like, Abby is jacked as fuck.
Like, when they start mentioning trans, I'm like, who the fuck is in this game?
That's what, yeah, I was thinking, like, it's not Abby, is it? Like,
and
that,
I
just
don't
because,
even
you
still
know.
Think that Lev is, it, like, because they have the talk.
Well, Lev's
and
actor
even,
is trans, so.
Okay, whatever, but how
I mean, the character was, because...
How I took everything in the story, my version of it is that she wanted, because they were forcing her to get married to an elder or whatever and have kids, and she didn't want to do that. She wanted to be like, she wanted to fight. And that's why she cut the hair, because she wanted to fight.
Okay,
that's how I took it.
Yeah,
and that's,
you missed it.
See, I probably miss something in the when
the fact that you're calling her a she is what you're missing. Because Lev is a he. Like, he sees himself
know,
as a he.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, she, I mean? Because that's... Like, I didn't took it that way, and then I feel like they just changed the name because... that's what she wanted to get
well, hold on.
Called,
first
and
of all,
then it's a he at the end, but it's like, I get it, and I just... think that she wanted just to fight and be a
no
someone
see
fighting
no it's definitely Lev was a boy and they were trying to tell her no you're a girl
it's,
and
it's
he
fine,
was like no I'm a boy
it. That's how I took it at the beginning towards like obviously at the end it's like oh, okay I get it but at the beginning I mean, until like towards the end like really at the end of the game I'm like oh okay
I mean, yeah, it's also a much different handling of, you know, what is trans in 2020 versus what is trans in fucking post-apocalyptic zombie society. So I think in that regard, it was kind of like that's the most trans Lev could possibly get, you know. So, you know, she's not going to go through any transition surgery that's like their interpretation in this world. How they do it. But either way, anything it's else? Great that you, it's great if you didn't.
Well, a trans person is trans regardless if they go through the surgery or not, but we don't have to.
Get yeah, yeah, no, yeah. I'm just saying, yeah.
I didn't, like I said, I didn't, that was my, I got it at the end, like, especially when you start in Santa Barbara, like I got it, like, okay, it's a guy. Okay. But from that section, even with the talk that they had, I was like, that resonated with me the most when, they're talking about it, and like, oh, she, because she says she. I no, she says he or she.
He.
Abby always refers to Lev as he.
Yes, I don't think anyone refers to Lev as a she other than.
I'm saying, yeah, and like, yeah. When they're talking about it, and they're going to look for him because of the mom trying to talk about the mom, and then at the end, like,
oh, that was terrible.
Lev kills the mom because she was trying to fucking kill them.
Yeah.
Like when that conversation of like that's when they had the talk of she was gonna get married, like they wanted she to married, and all that. That's like what like came into my head, and that's like what I got at the end, like, oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. Like I didn't get that it was a he towards after that.
Dude, you're just proving, if anyone fucking says that it was a ham-fisted, forced SJW agenda, like, you're literally proving that it wasn't.
Like
yeah,
you,
which is
right,
good.
Okay, so you're saying you realized organically that Lev
organically, oh, it's a he, yeah.
Right, okay.
Like, he, Lev, or Lily, or whatever, like, thinks of himself as a he.
Which I think is...
It's like, cool, it's whatever, but from the beginning, I was, because like, first of all, when, like I said, I was like, trans, like, who the fuck is trans? I was trying to figure out. Shit. Through the whole game, and then I'm like, oh, this is stupid. Like, all the comments and all that, like, people are fucking, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not even force. It's just like.
Yeah, no, the handling
like,
of Lev.
Talk about this. Like,
yeah, the
perfect.
Handling of Lev was amazing. Even through gameplay, it was so good. How the enemies shout out, I see her. But it's like, wait, they're talking about Lev. And
I'm
like,
thinking of Abby when they said
that. I think it's so great, yeah. Shouts out.
Anything else before we get to the farm scene?
I mean,
I kind of want to just expand a little more on Ellie's story, because I feel like that's really where the game shines a lot. I feel like we talked a lot about Abby, and I feel like Ellie's story from day one to day three. And then of course, you know, the epilogue and Santa Barbara and all that. I just feel like her story, it was so well told. I feel like there was so much nuance every time she had to kill someone. The only time where I was like weirded out was when she killed the dog and she's like, dumb dog. I'm like, oh, okay. Like that one was a little weird. I'm like, you could have cared a little bit more about that.
She was like so deep in her head at that point.
I guess, but I don't even focus on that. I was just saying it's like a one-off. I just feel like after first of all, she doesn't even kill Leah, right? She finds Leah dead. So she can't she can't claim Leah as someone she killed. Nora was gonna die regardless. So I mean, yeah, it's bad that she killed her and quote unquote made her talk. Like,
tortured her.
I made her talk is what she said to Dia. But she feels regret about it, and she feels, you know, like you see her visibly shaken by that. It's not like she did it, and she. Yeah. It's not like when Nora was like, I still hear his screams. That, like, piece of shit got what he deserved. That I was like, all right, fuck you, Nora. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's not thinking about it when it's happening. It's after.
Well, because of the adrenaline of it all, yeah.
Yeah.
But you can kind of even tell on her face when you have to press X or press square to swing the pipe. You even see it on her face. Like, she doesn't want to, but she's like, I got to do this because I got to find Abby. And she
has a time limit. She's like, I don't want to do this, but I have no other option because she's about to die. I have a fucking pipe in my hand. There's only one way I'm getting this information.
Right. And then, obviously, the scene with Owen and Mel, where she doesn't even really want to kill them. Like, she just wants them to talk, and they won't talk. She only kills Mel because Mel comes to her, right? Mel comes to her first, I think. Well, she has her. Yeah, I guess she's holding her hostage, but she doesn't know she's pregnant when she kills her. And clearly that shakes her because she starts throwing up, and then obviously Jesse and Tommy run in and save her. I just really like the way that, because a lot of people before this game came out, a lot of reviewers and a lot of people on Twitter and kind of the hearsay on Twitter, mm-hmm. was that Ellie's just a killing machine who doesn't care about anything she does, and people made her sound like she was the fucking Terminator. And that's not what I got when playing this game. I saw the pain that Ellie felt after she had to kill. I mean, obviously, we're not talking about grunts. It's a video game. You gotta kill grunts. Like, Nathan Drake has killed a million grunts. You know what I mean? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the main characters and the cutscenes and all that. And you could see the visible pain in her face when she has to do these things. And she doesn't want to. She didn't want to kill Mel. If she knew she was pregnant, she probably wouldn't have, you know? I don't think she wanted to kill Owen. She wanted Abby, really.
The beginning, she wanted Abby.
Right, but I just think that even when she confronted Abby, I mean, I guess in the theater, they wanted to kill each other because they're both just running on adrenaline. But just in general, I just feel like Ellie was portrayed as human, and I feel like people talked about this game like she was a Terminator, and that's not at all what I got from this game. I thought that Ellie had so much nuance to her throughout the whole entire story. I mean, mm-hmm. she's having, she's having PTSD over basically everything she's done. Especially we'll get to the farm scene later with with seeing Joel, and that's what drives her to find Abby again. But I mean,
she finds out her girlfriend's pregnant, you know?
Yeah.
That she just took halfway across the country.
Right. And I just feel like there's so much nuance to Ellie that people just kind of disregard because of the fact that, oh, it's so stupid. How do you spend the whole game trying to find someone to kill them, and then you find them and you don't kill them? Like, that's misses the whole point of the story. It's like, misses the entire point of the story. Like, did you not play the game? Probably didn't. People that have that sentiment probably didn't play the game.
Probably did.
Or if they did, they just weren't paying attention or didn't notice the struggles going, like, you know, Ellie's internalizing everything she's doing the whole game. It's not like she's just doing them and then ignoring it or brushing it aside. She is, you know, acknowledging and processing everything she's doing, everyone she's killed. And I just really appreciated that she wasn't the Terminator, because that's the vibe I got going into this game is, oh, I'm going to play as Ellie, and she's just going to be a psychopath murdering everyone.
We'd be playing an Uncharted game.
Right, right.
That's literally what Uncharted is, yeah.
Which is funny because I told you guys actually thought that Abby's story felt more like an Uncharted or a Tomb Raider game as it went on, which was not a bad thing. But it didn't.
As Abby, you're saying.
As Abby.
It had to feel different.
Right. Well, yeah. So as Abby's story went on, especially on the island with the village, it felt very Tomb Raider to me, which is not a bad thing. It's just that's
kind of what I got. Sure. I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. But I like that it was different because, first of all, Abby had no clue what was happening. If you follow the story,
right, she doesn't even know there's a trespasser until the end of day two.
They didn't even know that Tommy was like a thing. Like, she thought it was the scars or something like that.
That sniper sequence with Tommy on the other end was awesome. That was so cool because you know it's Tommy sniping at you, so you're like, "Well, I can't aim at him and kill him."
That's when you're chasing
him, and then he fucking blows a hole in Manny's head, and I'm like, "God damn!"
Yeah, it's like, "Oh shit!" It's actually like that's when she finds out, like, "Oh shit!" It's Tommy. And especially when, like, fighting and, like, she tosses him out of the
When they're over the
boat, and she's like, oh, shit, like, he's coming to kill me. Yeah. Like, that, like, I'm glad that it was different. It wasn't as dark as Ellie's, especially at the beginning. Just because, like, Abby at that, at the start of day one, she was in a different place. And she was, like, trying to, like, forgive herself of what she did. And Ellie at the beginning, she's out for revenge.
Yeah, true. They're really on two different ends of the spectrum.
And like Anthony's saying, like, she felt it, especially when you start like playing, you could see it like on her when you start in the farm. Like, she's all skinny. She looks pale. Like, she's like going through some like dark shit. Like, even when you said, I think Anthony, Jeff mentioned, that the kid, you thought the kid was gonna, something was gonna happen to the little kid.
When she has the, you know, when the thing, the fucking shovel or whatever falls over in the farm and she has the PTSD. I was like, oh my God, is she gonna choke this kid out by accident or something? Like in a fugue state?
That'd be crazy.
I was like, because I kept hearing that at the end of the game, some big thing happens that you have no control over. I was like, by accident, I was thinking, obviously, she wouldn't But I was like, oh my God, is she gonna go into a fugue state and choke this baby or something? Or squeeze it too hard and get, like, I was like, thank God. Like, when Dina found her, I was like, oh my God, thank God. So I didn't realize the thing people were mad about is not having a choice in killing Abby.
So let's jump to the end. Tommy comes over to the farm. You're on the farm. Okay. First of all, let's just talk about, I rewatched the cutscene. Tommy gets shot in the back of the head.
No, he gets shot in like the back. And then the arrow through his leg. It was in like the back.
Nope.
I thought it was in the back.
He is turned around, but it's the back of his head.
I don't know.
Dude, his eye is dead in the farm. His eye is blind.
I mean, you could survive that.
I know you could do the Carl Walking Dead shot in the front of the face and it skids you and you lose your eye that way. I don't know about getting shot in the back of the head. Either way, who gives a shit? It's a fucking video game.
I thought he got shot in the back, honestly.
I thought it was just like, oh, hold on, everyone's back alive. I thought it was a little bit of a dream state. But either way, Tommy comes back. He's like, yo, I fucking found her. You got to help me out. You promised you'd kill him. And at this point, I'm like, what the fuck? Are you like, hold on. We have a whole farm. I just walked around this whole thing. I have a design studio.
That was the part where I was like, this game needs to fucking end.
That's granted, 10 hours in one sitting.
Granted, I played from like 10 o'clock till like
8. It 3 days. I mean, it's
3 days. Three sittings.
I mean, technically 2 sittings. What the fuck are we talking about?
Well, you did 2 sittings.
No, not 2 sittings, but like in 2 days. I pretty much, because Friday doesn't really count. So I played like 2 hours, but I played it.
I played a good amount that Friday. I think I probably did 8 hours each day or something.
Friday? Really? Friday? Because the game didn't release for you at 11, so you couldn't have put that much time.
What are you talking about? Thursday night it released. I played it an hour Thursday night and then all day Friday.
Like Friday during the day Friday.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, I'm fucked up.
Crack.
Okay.
Crack.
So
you're on the farm. Tommy comes. You gotta head out.
See, like, I feel that she wanted to do it. But because she saw the kid and Dana, right?
Dina.
I don't know why I fucking...
Yara is...
she didn't because of that. Like, she like saw them and saw like her face and she's like, I can't do that. Like, I can't do it right now. And obviously overnight, she changed her mind and we can talk about it, but like, I didn't... She was doing it for them at the moment.
There's a lot that was going in her head. It could also be, you know, if Joel was willing to do so much to save me, like, what am I willing to do to save my daughter? Is possibly
I took it as Abby.
I don't know if
she's
thinking all that, but I'm just saying there's like a lot of.
I took it as Ellie literally tells Dina, like, I don't sleep anymore. She keeps having these PTSD flashbacks. Like what happens if next time she does hurt the baby? When something like that happens, that's how I took it. I took it as she needed closure more than she needed.
I totally agree with you. I think that is like the main driving thing, but I'm just like, there's all the other things if you want to add more to your essay about Last of Us 2.
Okay. After that, obviously he leaves, and then like Ellie like gets that. She wakes up and she's like, she's gonna go. Obviously, the fucking cutscene with this
girl.
Dina,
Dina doesn't give any ultimatum, right? Dina just says like. What did she say?
Well, she doesn't explicitly say, but she's just like, I'm not doing this again. Like, what am I supposed to do? Sit here and sit and wait for you thinking you're dead the whole time?
Yeah, it wasn't like if you walk out, oh, that was such a terrible thing. You leave, I'm going to be thinking you're dead the whole time. Like, facts.
Yep. Yeah, she doesn't explicitly give her an ultimatum, but it's implied, I would say.
Like, pretty much, like, if you leave, you know, I'm not going to be here.
It's not as clear as Ellie's ultimatum earlier on. But, yeah, so she does it. She bounces. And a quick thing, I'm pretty sure... I want to find out exactly, but I'm pretty sure the house was in Texas, and I'm pretty sure it was near something or related to Joel's house.
I think it was Oklahoma.
Because there's a magnet, though, on the fridge in that house that says, don't mess with Texas, and it's the Texas state.
So how far away from Jackson were they, then?
Dude, in Last of Us, first of all, the fucking parents visited, I don't even know. In Last of Us world, you could just walk out wherever the fuck
you are. So I'm saying, like, right, like, it's like, I feel like, oh, it's just down the street from fucking Wyoming. Yeah.
Straight up. Oh, that time we had to go through Idaho. What the fuck are you talking about, man? The whole state.
That's what I mean. Like, all of Idaho was terrible. Okay.
I don't even know. But in Last of Us World, that is. If anyone wants to say that's a plot hole, sure. But in Last of Us World,
it is a video game, so.
I know. Yeah, you could travel states. So yeah, they get to California.
I mean, they did go from Boston to Salt Lake in the first game.
Abby and Salt Lake. Again,
he plays Abby and Liv. You hear the fireflies are there on the fucking radio. Did you guys think there were actually fireflies? I was gullible enough to be convinced that, like, oh, interesting where this game's going. I guess there's fireflies.
Yeah, I kind of was just like, sure, why not? Like, I wasn't like super surprised when it happened, but I was like, sure, like I believed it enough. Yeah,
Owen said it was gonna happen. You know, Owen's like, people, their fireflies that did go to California, maybe they're still there.
So you asked me that question, and like. At the moment, I did, and then you like, hey, you think there are actual fireflies actually like grouped up? And I told you, no, I don't think so. Like, I think the fireflies are gone. Like, overall, there's like none.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's people that are like scattered in different communities now, but like that, I think it's gone.
For all we know, the fireflies are also the slaves at the Rattler's place.
Yeah, that could be too.
Well, yeah, that's what I interpreted it as, is they were luring fireflies there.
Yeah, that makes a lot. Oh, that's so good. And they probably call it a couple of fireflies. Like, wait, there's a whole group, right? We're just going to tell people we're fireflies and they'll come in here. All right, let's jump quickly to the Rattlers because we are going pretty long.
Way longer than we expected. Yeah.
Way longer, yeah. I thought it was like 40 minutes. I mean, hey, this is the best fucking, I think, so far, my game's here. I think Anthony has his on Final Fantasy VII. I mean, it's tough to say best game anymore. Like I was telling you guys earlier,
Final Fantasy VII has a lot of nostalgia and bias.
Yeah,
for
you
me
got
too,
things.
So
but I'm saying
quality,
like, this game
that.
Is equal. Yeah, facts.
It definitely gave me Red Dead Redemption 2 vibes. I got a lot more Red Dead vibes than I did God of War vibes.
Well, I'm saying in terms of quality, like.
Well, right, of course. So yeah, okay. Yeah. But I was as I was playing it, I was kind of like, I kind of want to go play Red Dead again too.
Yeah, facts.
Especially on the farm at the farm, I'm like, holy fuck! That is the most. I think that the farm sequence, because I just got a brand new TV too. Because last week we talked about how I was a fucking peasant playing on non HDR for this game.
Oh, and, hold the fucking phone! Did you play that whole Tuesday on your new TV on the 4K HDR?
Yeah.
Wow.
Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. So, I just got a brand new 65-inch LG TV. So,
Game changer,
dude. The farm scene in 4K with HDR is the most beautiful thing in a video game I have ever seen. Full stop. Like, I don't think there's any single thing you can compare to that one scene. I had to message Jeff because I was like, I need to get this picture on my phone, but I don't want to upload it to Twitter and spoil people on it. So I messaged Jeff through, like, the PlayStation messages thing just so I can, like, open it on my phone and download it. I was like, Jeff, I'm messaging this to you just so I'm not spoiling it for people. Don't be like, why the fuck?
It's a fucking beautiful picture. I appreciate
but, oh, my God, it was so fucking good looking.
Yeah, so...
This game's got to be one of the best looking games.
Yeah, Miguel, you said there's other... What other game would you say looks better than this? Or even...
I mean, on HDR, like, this is your first game, I assume, playing in 4K. I mean...
I did kind of do the thing where, like, on Sunday night when after I set the TV up, I did do the thing of, like, let me try this, let me try that, let me hop into this, let me see how this looks. I played... That's part of the reason why I was so behind you guys, too.
You got back to God of War?
Not God of War. I jumped into... I didn't jump into God of War yet. I hopped into Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Did you try out...
I did.
Tomb Raider?
Tomb Raider, I did. Not Horizon yet, because I wanted to wait until I beat Last of Us.
See, I'm not saying... Tomb Raider, I did, yeah. It looked better. I'm just saying, like, everything's just gonna pop more.
Yeah. So Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it's like a completely different game in 4K with HDR. It's like, especially you know what game really impressed me a lot? And this is gonna sound stupid, and don't yell at me, but the game that really impressed me a lot was Fortnite, because the colors in Fortnite
pop more
so much, especially with the purple from the storm and the color, because the whole island's flooded now, the water, and just everything looks so vibrant. And actually, the first thing I did on the TV, I know we're getting way off track at this point, but whatever. The first thing I did was, because it's a smart TV, it had Netflix installed. Like, I didn't get my PS4 from the other room yet, and so I just popped on Netflix and signed in real quick, and I put on Infinity War. And I got to the scene, you know, early in the game where Loki pulls out the Tesseract, and just the glow from the Tesseract, it looked insane. Like, it was, believe it. So I don't know how I have all this fancy tech shit in my house, and I've been viewing it on a 1080p screen for so long.
Yeah, facts, by the way. First thing that I got. Support.
Let's get to it.
So jump back to Last of Us. You said Barbara. You fucked up the rattlers. I thought it was really cool, that whole encounter, how there were zombies, whatever, clickers on.
Hey, what'd you say? You get an SMG at the end.
Holy shit, I just thought about this. Could you unchain the chained dead zombies?
I did
zombies,
that.
Like,
yeah, you can.
Yeah,
I did it. And then they like start running towards them.
Yeah, it's like a way. It's like a way to like distract them.
That's amazing. I did it. I was like, oh, yeah,
do you have to? Do you have to walk up to it and like triangle it, or can you shoot it from far?
No, you have to walk. I think you have to walk up to it and press triangle. But they usually have them distracted. So
yeah, I was avoiding them like they were chain chomps. You know.
So this is how I found out, because I killed one guy and then like I like try to run back to where I was through them, and then I saw the triangle, so I clicked it real quick and kept running, and obviously they were like focused on the other guys because they're making noise, and they just went for them. They're like, oh shit.
Killed the first infected and then noticed I can still unchain it, so I unchained it just to see what happened, and obviously it was dead, so it didn't do anything. So then the next one I saw, that's when I tried it out and I set it out, and so it started running, because the guy was like, you know, like egging it on, making fun of it, and then walked away. And then I unchained it, and then started running after him, and he turned around, and he was like, oh, shit! So, that was pretty cool. But yeah, the Rattlers were kind of filler. Like, I don't think we're ever going to get more of a backstory on them. Yeah. You know,
I thought it was enough Rattler information. I thought
They're just douchebags trying, you know, they're like the fucking, what was the group in Walking Dead where they would do the same thing where they would chain up the walkers.
I know what you're saying. I forgot the name.
Was it Negan's group? Was it Negan's group where they would chain up
Negan's
the...
Negan's group.
No.
It was the
Whisperers.
The Terminus people, I thought, right?
Oh, you might be on... That one's always a little fuzzy, the Terminus group.
On the show, not on the comic.
Show. That's the show, why. However, jumping back into the... Rattler part, I totally forgot what I was going
to
say.
Just skip to the pillars. There's really not much you need to know about the Rattler stuff, other than it's just a plot device to get you to
Abby. Nothing, dude. Forget it.
I know. Either way. Okay, yeah, so you find Abby, and she is fucking... where is that? Is that a beach?
It's a beach.
A lake? It's a beach? Okay.
It's the ocean, bro.
Wait, so where the fuck do they go? I guess they go up the coast.
California.
I love the fact that the final shot of that sequence... is the start menu of the game.
Yep.
Yeah. Because the start menu changes after you beat the game.
Right. Because I forgot, and I love when games do it, like Final Fantasy 15 is my favorite, because it I don't want to spoil it for anyone because that's not a Final Fantasy 15.
It's the loading screen, I imagine, or something.
Yeah,
you haven't played
like,
the game. You're not gonna play it. You can spoil your shit. It's a spoiler cast for a reason.
What I don't need to explicitly say, but it's yeah, it's no, one I, of my favorite times where that happens, where the start screen changes after you beat the game.
Yeah, because I was definitely wondering the significance of the start screen from the beginning. I play the game. It's like, and then you start getting,
and then
on the
you
boat
forget
and
about
go,
it by the time you get to the end, and you're like, oh shit, the boats.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the significance of a boat. Like, are you trying to? I don't know. It's like,
because that's okay, when Ellie lets go of her hate.
What? Okay, forget
it. Which is that thing?
I said that's it's symbolizing when Ellie lets go of her hate is when she lets Abby leave on the boat.
Yeah, I guess. But like, is there something to a boat itself? I don't know.
So
I'm looking too deep into
question,
it. But
question before maybe. We get, because I want to get to that fight scene. Did Ellie had the cutscene, or it was after? It was after, but. Let's get into the fight scene. Okay.
Yeah. So you
I think she like they started fighting, right? And yeah. They cut him
hold
down.
On, hold on. Time out. That's not true at all. They didn't start fighting. Abby okay. actually.
Abby said, "I'm not fighting
out.
You."
She says, "I'm not." She says, "The boats are over there. Let's go to the fucking boats."
Oh right. She's yeah. Like, that's all she says. Is just boats are this way.
Boats are this way. Yeah. Is level helps Lev down. Goes to the boats, and Ellie is. And like Ellie doesn't say a thing for a bit. Ellie's just like dumbfounded.
They
like,
see them and they're like, she's like all fucked up and she's like, oh shit, like what the fuck is going on?
That must have been the hardest. I mean, for me as a player also, but I kind of like knew Abby was fucked already. But like Ellie's seeing Abby, this person who she traveled from maybe Texas to all the way California to fucking kill. And she's literally on the verge of death already.
Yes.
So she lets her down. Her skin's all sunburnt, which is amazing because, yep. You know, it's by the beach. And that fucking fight, that was intense.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't like. They don't start actually fighting. She tells, and it's like Ellie's like fighting in her head, like, "What the fuck should I do? Like, should I let them go or whatever?" Because they were like, Abby put Liv in the boat, and they're about to leave, and then Ellie like snaps, and then she's like, "No, wait, we need to finish this," and like, "Oh, I don't want to fight with you." And that's when Ellie goes to Liv, and he's like, "If you don't do it, I'm gonna kill Liv."
I hated that. That killed me.
And it's
do
like,
you guys
like,
think? Do you guys think that card of Ellie wanted Abby to kill her? That's why she wanted to fight her instead of just straight up killing
100%, 100%.
Like,
that's a classic,
like a part of Ellie was just
because we'll get into
like
the
one of us is gonna die, and I don't care which one it is.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I say yes, but that happened right after this. But when they start fighting, when Ellie starts fighting, Abby
with a huge advantage also, which is kind
with
of
a knife
from Ellie's part
and,
with a knife.
I mean, she's all fucking skinny and fucking like she has lost
but she does let it be a fight because she could have just straight up killed her, like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Does Ellie still have a weapon at that point, right? She didn't lose her backpack.
She had
she
knife.
Did she lost her weapons because I noticed that it was against the Rattlers, I think it was because then she by the time she gets to the pillars she doesn't have any weapons on her.
Okay, fine. So actually, let me quickly.
She has the backpack and everything.
I thought she only had the I thought she only had the
knife. She drops it when they're getting into the boats. She drops the backpack, but she still has the knife on the thing.
Maybe I'm thinking of when Abby loses her weapons at the
end of the
island.
Finds,
maybe that's what I'm thinking.
So they start fighting or whatever, and then I feel like they're like all fucked up, and they're like, she's drowning her, and when she sees. This is what I think. When she sees fucking Abby drowning, I feel like Ellie came and is like, she's doing what Joe did for me, like protecting Liv. And I think she let her go because of that. Because did I mention it? Because right after that, they have the conversation. That right before the date, the Jackson day
before Joel dies, yeah.
Yes. It's like, they had that talk of, this guy's drinking a coffee, late at night or whatever, when the fight happened, like, fucking the guy, Joe pushed the guy, whatever. She goes to him, and they had the talk, like, hey, how you doing, whatever, like, hey, you don't need to do this for me, like, I can take care of myself, like, I don't need you anymore. And they had the talk of, like, you should have let me die.
My life would have mattered, and you took that from me.
Yes, yeah, and you took that from me. And it's like, they have the talk and they're like, but I'm going to give it a shot to forgive you. And then that's the moment when I see Joe, like, about to cry. That's the moment that broke me. That's the moment that I cried.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yes. Okay.
That's the moment I was like, fuck.
I mean, I was also very emotional that scene.
That, like he had the hope of Ellie feeling the same way before she found out that, like, she cared for him. Like, she knew that she cared for him, and she was going to try to, like, care for him again and the way that she did before all the shit happened. And that's what I feel like Ellie in her mind, like when the fight started, she was like, fuck it, if someone has to die, someone has to die. But when she was drawing her, I think in her head, she's like, especially thinking of like Liv, because she was in the background, was him in the boat.
I mean, yeah, you actually brought that up with the drowning. I didn't even think of that. Right. The direct symbolism of Ellie drowning Abby with a child watching, which is literally what happened when Ellie's first kill. A person drowning Joel with a kid watching.
Exactly.
And what happens in that case? Ellie, the kid, shoots the person drowning the other person. So, and Ellie's thinking, I'm going to kill Abby here. Liv's going to kill me. And, you know, continuing the cycle.
Like, you're just going to let this fucking kid die because you're killing someone that's going to take care of him.
Yeah, I don't think Liv was ever killing Ellie. I think he was
dying. No, at that point, no, she was, like, out of it.
I think Liv was down for the count.
Yeah, and Abby was pretty much down too. She was fighting
in terms of the cycle of violence.
Violence repeating itself. Yeah, and well, that's like, what I said. Is this game is about breaking the cycle of violence?
Yeah, that's when Ellie finally like came out of that. She saw the light when she saw Abby fucking drowning in the water, and she's like, I can't do this to that kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even also, I mean, we didn't mention it, but this is the clearer interpretation that her remembering Joel is seeing, oh, wow, if Joel in that moment, I could forgive Joel, I could forgive Abby. This story is so amazing. It's just, it's layers stacked upon layers. It's so well written. It's so well performed. It's really a masterpiece.
And in the fight, like Abby bites the two fingers off.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go back to the farm, like going back, you're like done with that shit. You're like good now, like somewhat good, I guess, better than before.
Yeah.
You go back, you grab that guitar, and you're like trying to play it, but you can't actually play it. So like when you're like hitting the fucking pad, like you're missing some notes that you should be hitting, but because you don't have the fingers, she's like, I feel like she's like thinking in her mind, like, this was not worth it.
I mean, yeah, Anthony, could you play guitar with three fingers? Like I was trying to think of more significance.
First of all, what's his name from Black Sabbath? Tony Iommi.
Sure, yeah.
He's missing the tips of his fingers, and he has like plastic prosthetics that he has on his fingertips. So he plays. But I was just assuming, oh, she'll just flip it upside down and restring it the way because Jimi Hendrix played left-handed with a right-handed guitar, and I was thinking she would do something like that. But obviously, right there in that moment, she's not doing that. You know what I mean? So,
I did like the zoom in on the strings. It wasn't the zoom in on the strings. It was zooming on the.
I like that while you were trying to play it on like the controller, that you were hearing her fuck it up because she only has two fingers.
Yep. That's what I meant. And then
I thought I was just touching the touchpad wrong. That's what I
was the point is that it sounds fucked up because she only had two fingers.
That's what the like great. When that happened. That's what I'm mentioning. Like
because I noticed happened, too because I play guitar. I noticed like she was fingering chords differently than how you normally finger them because she was recalibrating how to do it with only two fingers. Yep. Like a D chord usually looks like this, but she was playing it like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you could do.
And that moment, dude, she freezes the thing on the window, and it's just like.
And she puts it down and walks away. I believe in my heart that she goes back to Dina.
She's probably going to look for her. And hopefully, like, she could remember, you know, all the shit that happened and she living. But at the end, both of them saw the light. And that was the point of the whole game, right? Like, going through that rage, because both of them, Abby and Ellie, went through that rage of just, like, getting revenge and then finding their way to the light.
Yeah.
Do you guys want a third game, or do you want this to be the end?
I don't think there's
No.
I'll wait for a third game.
Yeah.
Because well, the second, because this game, like I said, I think two always, if there was ever going to be a two, I kind of always assumed it would be something about the Fireflies retaliating. Yes. You know what I mean?
And right now,
and so that makes nothing. Sense for this game. With this, I mean, you could follow Abby, but I don't want a whole game about Abby.
That's what I was about to say. Like, the only thing, it's Abby and Liv. But
I would rather, a game about Nathan Drake's daughter than a game about Abby. Well, let me just
say. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if they do that, I would feel like it's like a Lost Legacy type of game. Like a side stuff with them two and like figuring shit out after, but in not mentioning Ellie, like maybe in a talk or whatever, but don't even like, but I mean, think there's going to be another.
What stories are there even left to tell? You know, Last of Us 1, you could make the same argument, you know, oh, there's nothing left to tell. You know, they're living happily in Jackson, but you could easily say, you know, like, wait, they're living happily. He just killed a bunch of people and they're just on the right. Like there's something going to happen here. Now I really think the book's closed on Ellie Angel's story. Yeah.
I mean, unless you want to do a totally different character, you know, like Lost Legacy, if you think about it, like, yeah, it is sort of related to Nathan Drake because those characters know Nathan Drake, but it is different characters. Like, you could do completely new characters in a completely different part. Like, you could do like what's going on in Florida, same, you know what I mean? Or what's
like
going on
the same, like combat, I guess. Like,
right. Like the Last of Us. Orange County. I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want that, but you could do something.
If you call it that, that's why I feel like if you call it whatever it is, it's going to be with Abby and Liv. That's why they're like two characters, the kid and Abby, but
I just
don't
really
think it's going to
need that though. I don't think. Yeah. Give me a DLC, like a Left Behind style DLC with Abby and Abby. I'm combining the names at this fucking point. With Abby and Lev, you can give me like that type of DLC. I'm fine with that.
If something happens, it's gonna be something like that. Something small with them too.
I believe the next story, I mean, kind of announced, but the next story we hear in the Last of Us universe is the multiplayer, and I think it's going to be fleshed out factions, which
it's
going to
be Seraphites versus Wolf, right?
Makes sense. Maybe throwing some Rattlers there also, some Firefly. I don't know. I feel like there is definitely.
I think the story writes is that you could do from when Isaac, you could do like when the truce is broken. You know what I mean? Flashback a little while. You know.
So
it could kind of be like Bioshock 2's multiplayer, where it does have a story its own. You know, you have like a little hub and makes sense within the world.
Right. Which the first game kind of did too, to an extent too.
Yeah, no, it did very well. But I'm just saying, yeah, that I think that is the...
I think that story writes itself, though. I think it's when the truce breaks. That's when multiplayer takes place.
Yeah.
A quick thing to add. And if they do that, and you have to, like, choose one of them, like, to play as one or whatever, hopefully, that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. You already have the stadium set up for the Wolves, and you already have the village set up for the Scars. So you could use like a small area because seems like they want to evolve that like factions area. Like every time you win, you come back with rations or whatever it is.
Yeah,
like you can have like
level one. It was just all text light.
Like it was a menu.
Yeah, all text light, and it was like a menu.
That would be cool
like
if they had like a hub area, like a tower from Destiny type area. That'd be cool.
That would all right, so that's where we'll leave off the Last of Us series. Went pretty long. Do you have a timer on this episode? Like, is there?
We're running about an hour and 32 minutes.
Jesus, okay.
Way longer than we expected.
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be 40 minutes, but dude, it's fucking Last of Us. Yeah,
worth it.
I wonder how long our God of War spoiler cast was. I think that was around under an hour. Now
I think it was around an hour. I think
that was around an hour.
Okay, so final. Let's get back to where we started.
Yeah. Bring it
final
back.
Review. You guys think 10 out of 10?
I think 10 out of 10. I think it's, like I said, it's an amazing game, awesome game, a masterpiece. Yeah. I'm not saying it's perfect, because it's not perfect. There was small things right at the end right now. There were some like clipping stuff, some little small little bugs.
No,
like
that stuff isn't what I had a problem with.
I'm not a big fan of when you open a drawer with triangle, and if there's a collectible in there, you have to kind of like move back a little and then move forward. Like if you're standing in the same spot, you can't just hit triangle twice if there's a pickupable in the thing.
Like small little stuff like that. Yeah. It's just like
like when I'm like pushed down, when I'm like when I get blasted, and then I'm like doing that skid thing. I feel like I'm always getting shot. Like twice before we even have a second to actually aim off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, really. Yeah, you
have my issues.
It's better when you level up the guns.
My issues were not with combat. My issues were not with any small glitches. I really didn't run into any glitches, actually. My friend had a weird issue where his HUD just disappeared in the middle of combat.
I got stuck in a car. So
cinematic.
Yeah. So stuck in a car. I didn't have any of those issues. That's not my small gripes with the game. I just really didn't. I thought there was some pacing issues. I know you're a fan of it, Miguel, but I just didn't like the pacing of Abby's start of her story. I thought day one was just not paced well, personally speaking. I thought that the characters in Abby's story, I just didn't really find them as likable as you guys seemingly do. I thought the only reason I cared about Mel dying was because she was pregnant. I didn't really care about her, you know what I mean? I thought she was kind of bland and boring, vanilla. Owen, I kind of liked a little bit, but even he kind of was almost like a wooden plank. I liked Manny. It sucked when Manny died. I liked, who was the other one?
Manny was the man, bro.
Yeah, when you get the bunch of burritos, I love that.
Yeah, well, I mean, when he got his brains blown, I was like, oh, fuck. And even Jesse, like, same way. I was like, god damn, they're just going to kill him like that unceremoniously. So I just think there was some pacing issues with Abby's story. It's just like, really, those are my biggest issues with the game. Is I just think some of the pacing. I think the game was just a little too long. That's just my personal take. I think the game is just too. And Uncharted 4 had this issue too. Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4 was worse than this.
Too fucking long. This game was longer than Uncharted 4, though.
Yes, but the pacing. I thought. See. I thought this was okay. Like, was it could they cut a little bit off?
I think you could have shaved like 4 or 5 hours off of Abby's story. I think.
I think like one or two, but I was okay with it. Wow. Like Uncharted.
This game is longer than Uncharted 4, by the way.
That's what I just said.
We know that. Yeah, we said that.
Uncharted
4, like the last couple episodes.
I think
he just meant it dragged
more in Uncharted 4.
Yeah, like that dragged a lot more for me than
if you cut out all of Madagascar, that game is a way better game, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree. Last fighting scene.
So funny enough, I was actually reading an article about all cut content, so this game would have been longer, Last of Us 2. And yeah, I think you could shorten it by taking out a couple encounters. I don't think any part of the game should have been taken out, but like some area, like I don't know, Hillcrest didn't need like 4 different encounters. You know, I felt like I was going into a new area like each time. But a new
some
area
of those
enemies.
Encounters they could take off.
Let me just say this: Ellie's part of the story, I think. Like, hypothetically, let's say that Abby, you didn't play as Abby at all, hypothetically, let's say, and this game is only 12 hours long, or 13 or 14, however long it would be end up being just playing Abby's stories.
Mm-hmm.
That is a 10 out of 10 for me. Abby's story, I eventually got to that point where I was like, I like this story.
That's what happened with everyone.
I just think that I'm more critical of it than you guys are. I just think that took way too long for me to get there, I think. Because... just day one, I just wasn't having fun. I just was not enjoying it at all. I was like, I almost wanted to give up. It was my birthday while I'm playing it. I was like, usually I watch Fast 5 on my birthday every year. I didn't watch Fast 5 on my birthday this year because I was playing The Last of Us 2, playing as fucking Abby for 12 hours. You know what I mean? So I made a big sacrifice there. And I just wasn't having fun in day one. Once you start learning more about, like, once you meet Lev and Yara, it started getting really good. And again, it started feeling kind of like Tomb Raider, kind of like Uncharted. And I really enjoyed that. And the more it felt like that, the more I liked Abby's story. But the beginning, it just felt so kind of by the numbers. Whether that's intentional or not, doesn't mean I like it. Doesn't mean I think it's
fair
good.
Enough. Yeah, totally fair. Totally fair.
And that's kind of my knock on the game, is I just feel like there was just a large swath of the game where I was just like, ugh. So,
and I think they did it intentionally because of that.
Yeah.
I felt the same way at the beginning, I got it and I was okay with it.
I really don't want to get into discussion, but you kept saying, like, you know, I wasn't having fun with that chapter. Like, then it brings up, like, oh, are you supposed to have fun 100% of the time? Like,
well, no, but I'm not talking about the cutscenes. I'm not talking about the interactions. I'm talking about the actual, just, like, I skipped, like, 3 of the puzzles because you can turn on the ability to skip puzzles. In the accessibility, I just didn't want to do it. I was just like, it's not that the puzzles were hard. I didn't even try. I'm like, I just don't want to fucking do this right now. I just want to get back to the story I care about. I knew it was going to take a while to catch up in the story on her end. I just want to get through these opening hours of Abby because I knew nothing was going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they got ambushed, but Mel's fine. Oh, they got ambushed, but you know, we got to go find Owen. Like, I just, I don't know. I think that. I kind of wish we saw a little bit more of Isaac, because I think that...
Oh my god, dude, fuck. All right, we really have to end this, because I gotta...
I know, the scene with Abby and Isaac, where Abby is kind of like, we gotta go find Owen, and he's like, no, we don't. I thought that was part of, like, when you saw the most personality from Abby, because it shows she cares about Owen, regardless of what their status is with each other. And I thought we could have had more of that.
Yeah, so. True. I mean, Isaac was amazing, fucking played by Jeffrey Wright, a Westworld actor, which makes sense because Haley Gross, the narrative lead, wrote some Westworld episodes. Jeffrey. And I think Shannon Woodward, who plays Abby or Dina, maybe, is in Westworld also, either way. Jeffrey Wright's amazing. I love how they used his face right when I saw him. I'm like, holy shit, I love this guy. But yeah.
Yeah, I thought I recognized him.
Either
too.
Way, we already said our final words. Amazing. We all love this game.
It's like, in the running for my game of the year. I'm not picking a game of the year until we're at the end of the year. You know, it's
Cyberpunk.
It's between Final Fantasy and Last of Us right now. It could be, I don't know which one it's going to be. It could be either of them. Who knows?
I mean, I could say it from between both of them because I played it with both.
I think
of them.
Jeff froze.
Yeah, he froze. Right now, so far, is Last of Us 2 by like a mile.
Well, again, I have some bias towards Final Fantasy.
So. Oh, I know you do, and I'm sure.
But I kind of don't always agree with you guys. You know what I mean? Like, you guys all went God of War, and I went Red Dead. So
the point of this, like, I love fucking God of War. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, like God of War was like a millimeter behind Red Dead for me when I picked Game of the Year. But I just feel like Red Dead.
You're back, Jeff.
Red Dead. Awesome. You froze for like a straight like.
My, no, yeah, my I couldn't even load a webpage.
Nice.
As I was trying to close
the. Like
I
said, so we'll see at the end of the year. This game could grow on me more. Final Fantasy could grow on me more. I don't know yet. So
and I feel that you feel some type of way with the whole game because you did play it. I think faster than us.
Now that I'm done with it, that doesn't really weigh on me. While I was playing it, I was like, I just want this to be fucking over. But just from this, from the perspective of, I just want to beat it. But. That's not affecting the way I think of the game that at all. Like, that's like, now that I'm done with it, that's not bothering me at all.
Yeah. Like, in my head, it could have taken 5 days, 3 days. I played the whole game.
I kind of wish that I had more time to kind of play it. You know what I mean? Like, I wish that I could have, because the original Last of Us took me fucking 5 years to beat. So
wait, hold on. Besides the, yeah, right. Besides the one chapter, the part of Abby you didn't like, did you ever feel like you were forcing yourself to play those hours, or
it was really just the beginning of Abby's story? I think I was forcing myself to play. I mean, towards the end, like, I felt like I was forcing myself to play just because I just wanted to beat it that day, but not like in the sense of like I'm forcing myself to play it but I don't want to. It was more of forcing myself to play it when I should go eat something, you know. That's of what it was.
Like, you really just wanted to see the end.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's what drove you. Yeah, right. Okay, same exactly.
So really just the start of Abby's story, like day one and then a little bit of day two. I was just like, that's when I was like, I just don't want to play this right now. But then, like I said, it turned more into Tomb Raider and I liked it. So,
especially
perfect.
Oh, and shout out.
Yes.
Rich area.
That felt very Horizon to me.
We can make this a 5-hour episode. Go, make your last shout out.
Last shout out. Shout out to the rangefinder on the bow. Get it. Make that your first bow upgrade.
Oh,
it's fucking amazing.
The crossbow or the bow?
No, the bow. Because you can add a rangefinder, which tells you how far away the person is. So the center dot will drop down to show you how far above the head you need to aim.
Fuck me hard. I didn't see that.
Oh my god, it's so good. Go get it. Go do it. It's
god
so good.
Can we talk about the goddamn weapon upgrades? How each time you fucking do it, it changes and it visually looks different and it's amazing. Yeah. I can't.
We can talk more about this on Monday's episode.
It's better. They have a better version of
weapon upgrades.
What's the Call of Duty thing?
The gunsmith?
Customization?
The gunsmith, dude.
Oh, gunsmith. Oh, yeah, facts. Dude, imagine, whatever. All right.
We got to call it. This is going on too long.
Pod.
hit us up on Twitter at FTR_pod. You can check me out at Anthony Palm. Jeff is Brawl96, at Brawl96. Miguel is at DarkAngel1010_. And if you want to hit us up on PlayStation Network, I am the only X188. That's O-N-E, numbers 88. Jeff is Mr. Brawl96. And no, you're Mr. Brawl.
You nailed it, bro. You nailed it. Why'd you question yourself?
No,
I'm totally wrong.
Right. Oh, yeah. You're Mr. Brawl on Twitter. So Twitter at Mr. Brawl96, PlayStation Brawl96, because you're the baby Brawl on PlayStation, and you're the grown up man, Mr. Brawl.
But don't forget Twitter. On Xbox Live, I am Mr. Brawl96 as well.
And Miguel is DarkAngel1010, no underscore on PlayStation. Thank you everyone for listening. I don't know how many people. This is a fucking really long episode. Holy shit, this is like longer than our normal.
Thanks for listening, episodes. Guys. Thanks for getting to the end.
So if you've lasted this long, thank you so much. Check us out again early next week. We will get out our normal episode. We'll talk about Avengers. We'll talk about Cyberpunk, all that good stuff. There's a bunch of other news I'm sure we're going to talk about too.
Demo.
And yeah, I don't know. There's probably more shit to talk about. Thank you all. We'll catch you all next week.
Peace.
Remember, switching to your pistol is always faster than reloading.